From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. The Juneau Assembly held a listening session last night to hear from citizens with concerns related to policing and racism in the capital city. The three-hour meeting included some sobering testimony from more than 40 community members who called in, many of them people of color who shared stories of racial profiling and discrimination. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
During the listening session, elected officials sat silently along with Juneau Police Department leadership, the school district superintendent, and the school board president. Vanessa Ferreira testified that she had lived in Juneau only a few months when she had an experience involving police that left her shaken. While riding the bus to work one morning, Ferreira said multiple officers suddenly arrived and pointed guns at the passengers, saying they were responding to a call about a person with a knife.
We were all terrified, and I didn't feel like I was being protected by the police. I have never been that scared in my life.
Ferreira said she and the other passengers were startled and confused as a man who had been sitting quietly stood up and was arrested by the officers.
I didn't feel safe, and this is not why I'm paying taxes, to be terrified.
Multiple testifiers said they were disappointed by Police Chief Ed Mercer's initial hesitation to immediately release the department's use of force policy without first consulting a lawyer. The department released the policy 3 days after that. It details the procedures officers can use to subdue a subject, including the use of deadly force. Nathan Block is a recent graduate of the University of Alaska Southeast. He shared that he was sentenced to 7 years in prison for an armed robbery he committed in Juneau in 2011. Block credits the officers who arrested him and staff at Lemon Creek Correctional Center with helping him turn his life around, and said he values their work. Still, he believes police forces around the country need to be demilitarized.
However, defunding them also means a lack in training funding, and I believe we should consider reallocating JPD funds for buying military-like equipment so that they could conduct more training exercises concerning a lot of the situations that we are deeming unacceptable around the country.
Some speakers recounted instances of racial profiling by police officers. Several people asked the assembly to take action to directly address racism in the community through education and by examining the racial makeup of city boards and committees. In closing, Mayor Beth Weldon promised listeners that this was just the beginning.
This was a listening session, and it was meant to be the starting point of a conversation. I've taken lots of notes, and I'm sure my other assembly members have, as well as the school district and the police department.
Weldon thanked everyone for being respectful throughout the testimony and for sharing very personal stories. Police department officials will speak to the assembly on Monday at its 6 p.m. Committee of the Whole meeting. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Since 9/11, security screenings and long lines at airports across the country have become a staple of the boarding process. Now, airline travelers across Alaska are meeting screeners and lines when they disembark, too. That's thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic and the state's plan to replace mandatory quarantines for out-of-state travelers with on-the-spot testing. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry headed to Sitka's Rocky Gutierrez Airport to learn more.
At 11:30 on a Saturday morning, Sitka's airport is pretty dead. Two Alaska Airlines employees check in a handful of travelers. The only other people in the terminal are 10 Alamarine employees. They're donning bright orange vests with screener written on the back and pulling on surgical masks and purple nitrile gloves when I arrive. Rob Caldwell is one of the screeners waiting for an incoming flight from Seattle.
I was going to be working on Denali this year as a mountain guide, which is very exciting. It's going to be my first season up there. And that got canceled, so this is temporary.
With a few exceptions, all travelers coming from out of state have to show proof of a negative COVID test result in the last 72 hours if they don't want to quarantine upon arrival. Otherwise, they can take a test at the airport and quarantine until they get their results. Caldwell's job is to help travelers who've decided to test at the airport. He stands behind a plastic shield and a face masks required sign. From there, he hands out forms, checks IDs, and sends travelers on to the next screener, who double checks their paperwork.
The people that are coming in are mostly like super understanding, but like trying to keep the community safe. It is funny though, a few people kind of come through and they either had a bad flight or they're just generally kind of grumpy. But I'd say that's definitely the minority.
Alan Marine normally operates tour boats out of Sitka, Juneau, and Ketchikan. But with tourism numbers way down because of the coronavirus, they're branching out. The city recommended Alan Marine to the state, and the state then contracted with the company to conduct the new screening policies that went into effect on June 6th. A spokesperson with Alaska's Department of Health and Social Services said the state encouraged communities to come up with their own strategies for screening. Alan Marine's Stefania Petruski is normally the company's sales and service manager. Now, she's also their airport screener supervisor.
We had laid off quite a few employees due to the current situation, and also we are great customer service people because we serve guests almost year-round.
Petruski says the Sitka Fire Department had already set up a screening procedure before Alan Marine got involved, and they've been refining the process since. The Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium trained the employees who are administering tests. They offer to give me one. First, I fill out a form with some personal information. Then I sign the back and choose to get my results over encrypted email. Alan Marine employee Rebecca Lynn helps me from there.
All right, Erin, today you're going to go ahead and do a self-swab. You're going to insert this up into your nose to the point of resistance and rotate 4 times. You're going to use the same swab for both nostrils, so you're going to do it 2 times.
Okay.
She hands me a long Q-tip enclosed in plastic and instructs me to remove the plastic from one end.
So just put it here?
Yep, up until it stops, so you'll feel the point of resistance up there.
Okay, and twirl it around?
Yep, twirl around 4 times. Mm-hmm. We just want to get a really good sample.
Ugh, eyes watering.
Okay. And then to the other nostril as well.
Oh, gross, there's boogers.
We have tissues, no worries.
I place it in a vial, and they attach a sticker I filled out with my personal information. And of course, the obligatory hand sanitizer application. They say I'll get my results within 5 to 7 days. As it nears noon, the screeners take their positions. One stands by the door to the tarmac and points arriving travelers to one of 2 lines, those who need a test and those who don't.
Can you retest this quick? We had a negative one on Wednesday, but...
Okay, if you've already been tested and you have your results, then you're still going to need to go on this last line there.
Okay.
Travelers who are part of critical infrastructure or who have test results in hand queue in front of a folding table where 2 screeners check paperwork and IDs. They hand out stickers that say I've been screened and vouchers for a follow-up test for those who need it. From start to finish, the whole process takes about 20 minutes. Considering how complicated the regulations are, the whole thing goes pretty smoothly. People are directed to where they need to go. The few who look confused are quickly apprehended. Sitka resident Jennifer Price just returned from an 11-day trip to Seattle. She decided to take a test at the airport.
I wish more people would wear their masks on the airplane. That's my one comment. But this whole effort has run smoothly.
Great, and you took the COVID test?
I did.
How was that?
Very interesting, not a problem. It's nice that I got to stick the swab up by myself using my own hand.
Before long, the airport empties and the cleanup process begins. I'll do this 3 times a day, 7 days a week, until something changes. Oh, and in case you were wondering, my results came back negative, and it only took 3 days. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
The Alaska Federation of Natives, which represents 191 federally recognized Alaska Native tribes and 11 regional corporations, has announced the date and theme of their annual convention. This year's theme will be Good Government, Alaskans Decide. A release from AFN says the theme highlights, quote, the challenges and opportunities the Native community and all Alaskans face, including responding to and recovering from the pandemic and resulting economic downturn. The keynote speaker for the convention will be Alaska House Speaker Bryce Edgman, the first Alaska Native speaker of the State House. Edgman is an independent from Dillingham, currently serving his 2nd term as speaker. This will be the first convention without the participation of the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, who withdrew from AFN at the end of last year. The corporation is the largest in the state, representing Inupiaq shareholders, primarily from the North Slope region. The convention will be held October 15th through the 17th at the Denaina Center in Anchorage. A moderate earthquake jolted Anchorage this afternoon, but there were no immediate reports of damage. The magnitude 4.2 quake was centered around about 35 miles southeast of Alaska's largest city and was widely felt in the city in the northern suburbs. This is KTOO News.